Thank you for listening to this audio recording produced by Truth Point Church in West Palm Beach. We exist to point people to the truth of the gospel.
Go ahead, if you would, and grab your Bibles and turn with me today to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to be in chapter 40 today, looking at a very familiar passage if you've been a Christian for some time. Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31. And if you are just visiting with us, we were going through Jesus's famous Sermon on the Mount, but we have taken a break, and we looked at the importance of missions for Mission Sunday. Last week, we looked at the importance of contentment leading up to Thanksgiving. And today, this Sunday, is sort of it's an interesting Sunday in the church calendar year. It's the Sunday right before Advent, right before the Advent season, which Advent season is the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And so what I thought I would do today is sort of introduce the Advent season. Now, Advent means arrival. The word Advent means arrival or coming, and in particularly the coming and arrival of God. And so the Advent season is a season of waiting for God to arrive. It's waiting for God to show up. It's waiting for God to come through. It's waiting for God to make good on his promises. But here's the thing. When we find ourselves in a season of waiting, it's very easy to become weary. We become weary in the wait, and we can find ourselves becoming frustrated with God, even bitter towards God, and sort of zapped of spiritual strength and out of sorts and needing to find strength again. And so that's what I want to talk about today. How do we find spiritual strength in the seasons of waiting? And so I'm going to pick it up in verse 27. He says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Father, we thank you for the scriptures, and Lord, I pray that you would help me today, even give me physical strength to teach them, to apply them faithfully, and Lord, for all of us, that we would have humble and teachable hearts to really be open to hearing what you want to say to us today from your word. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, the word Advent means arrival or coming, and in particular, the arrival of God. God coming through in some particular way. The Advent season is the season of waiting for God to make good on his promises. But I'm afraid that oftentimes we think of the Advent season as something for the people of old, not for the people of today. Because we live in this time of history, this period of history, where we can look back and we can see all the faithfulness of God, and we can see the many ways that he has shown up and he has fulfilled what he promised to do, where he even after 400 years, he made good on his promise. He delivered the people out of Egypt, and he made good on the promise of delivering them out of exile in Babylon, what Isaiah is speaking particularly of here. And we have seen how God has shown up to this earth in person, in the person of Jesus. And I think sometimes we can think of Advent as something for them and not something for us. But Advent is extremely relevant for us because we all are waiting for particular things, aren't we? Maybe you're waiting for God to come through in some particular circumstance. Maybe you've been praying for something and you've been praying for it for a while. It's been on your prayer list for some time and you're waiting for God to answer. You're waiting for God to come through. Maybe you're waiting for a new revival and reformation in the church. Maybe you're waiting for peace to happen and reconciliation in some relationship. Maybe you're waiting for greater victory over some besetting sin. Maybe you're waiting for hope to come back into your life again. Maybe you're just waiting for Tom Brady to finally retire so your team would stand a chance, and you're weary in the waiting. But seriously, though, we're all, no matter who we are as Christians, we're all waiting for that blessed day when Jesus returns and we see him face to face, where there will be no more tears and no more pain, and even death will be no more. Is Advent season relevant to us? You bet it is, because we are still a waiting people. And this is why Bonhoeffer said this: our whole life is an Advent season, because we're always in some season of waiting. And here's what this text teaches us. There's a right way to wait, and there's a wrong way to wait. It's never a question of if we're going to be waiting for something. It's how we're going to be waiting. There's a right way to wait, and there's a wrong way to wait. And you know that you're waiting in the wrong way because the symptom is spiritual weariness. You know you're waiting in the wrong way because you've grown frustrated with God. You don't have the joy you once had, the excitement in your spiritual walk. And you know you're waiting in the right way because there is that enthusiasm, there's that perseverance, that the fellowship and closeness with God. Now, here's the question. How do you go from verse 27 and being weary of God, doubting God, questioning God, to verse 31 where you're finding strength from God and you're walking with God again? That's the question. How do you go from weariness to strength? How do you go from spiritually down in the dumps to soaring on wings like eagles? Well, that's what he's going to answer for us by really teaching us about two subjects, the subjects of spiritual weariness and spiritual strength. And so if we're going to understand where he's bringing us to, we got to understand those two subjects, spiritual weariness and spiritual strength. So first, spiritual weariness. So here you are, and you're in a season of waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. And you may not admit it, but you have grown bitter towards God and really just tired of the whole thing. You're tired of living the Christian life. You're tired of praying. You're tired of reading your Bible. You're tired of going through the motions. You're tired of going to church. And you're just exhausted spiritually. You're just so out of sorts. Now, what do you do? How do you handle this? Well, the first thing that we need to know is that spiritual weariness is a universal problem, okay? You got to understand, spiritual weariness is a universal condition, which means that all of us are going to face this. All of us are going to go through this at one time in our lives, at some point in our lives, to one degree or another, maybe multiple times in our lives. It's a universal condition. And this is why reading the Old Testament, being familiar with the Old Testament, and books like Isaiah are so important. Because what Paul says in Romans 15 is that these things were written for you and me. He says in Romans 15 that although Isaiah wasn't specifically written to us, it was written for us. He says so that through the scriptures, the Old Testament, we might have hope. We might find strength in the seasons of waiting. I mean, think about it. You come to verse 27 where they're not just feeling like God doesn't see them or God doesn't care for them. They're actually saying it. And he says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? I mean, you ever felt like God really didn't have a clue of what's going on in your life? Or not that he just didn't see, maybe he saw, but he doesn't care? Or my right is disregarded by my God. He sees it, but he really doesn't care. Ever been there? Ever been questioning God, doubting God, if he really sees and really cares? The reason why verses like this are in there is so that you would know you're not alone. Because one of the things that makes the weariness worse is feeling like every other person is soaring on eagle's wings except for me. Right? It's this feeling like everyone's going from strength to strength. Well, here am I, old, poor, depressed me in the corner hanging on by a thread. And to feel like we're alone in this. My friend, you are not alone. All of us face this, if we're honest. All of us go through these periods where we're spiritually tired, including myself. And I have shared this with a few of you, but while I was on sabbatical in August, I went through what I could only describe as just a severe bout of spiritual depression, where out of nowhere, these unusual doubts about God and the Bible were creeping in, and I just found myself feeling distant from God. And I was just so frustrated. I'm like, here I am on my sabbatical, right? Here is this time that's been set aside for my spiritual refreshment, and here I am spiritually down in the dumps. And I'm praying, I'm fasting, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, Lord, please, you've got to come through. I'm going to come back, and they're all going to ask me, how'd your sabbatical go? And I was getting weary in the waiting, and I was spiritually discouraged. My friend, all of us go through this. You are not alone. It is a universal condition. This is why these verses like this are in there. But here's the thing. It's a curable condition. We've got to know that. We've got to know, yes, this might be something that we all go through, but there's a way out. There's a cure. And that's why you see this in this passage. God doesn't come to his people and say, oh, you're spiritually weary, you're frustrated with me, you're down in the dumps, I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to deal with that. I'm sorry, you're just going to have to cope with that. No, he doesn't do that. He gives them a cure. He knows there's a cure. And so he sends the prophet Isaiah to them almost like a traveling physician. And he sends this prophet, this physician Isaiah, and you can tell he's sort of acting like a physician, because what Isaiah does is he takes this condition and he doesn't just deal with the symptoms. Starting in verse 28, he gets to the cause. He starts with addressing the cause of this weariness before he administers the cure. Or you could say, like a good counselor, he starts by asking the right questions. And he starts in verse 28 by asking this other question. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? And he goes on and explains the nature and the character of God. And it's almost like he's asking this question with a little sarcasm, right? Because he's speaking to the people of God, and he knows they've heard of these things. He knows they know these things, but the problem is what they're waiting for has become so important. It's become so big to them that they've forgotten the bigness of God. And he's like, folks, you're living as if you've never heard of how great God really is. You're living as if you don't know him. And you got to understand, he's asking these questions not to interrogate them, not to shame them, but like a good counselor, to expose, to lovingly expose the real underlying cause of their spiritual weariness, which interestingly enough is exactly what happened to me when I was on sabbatical. The last Sunday while we were up there, we went back to this 250-year-old Presbyterian church, Knowlton Presbyterian. And it's just a solid church, wonderful ministry. We went back there to visit. And I remember getting up that morning and just asking God, you got to show up. You got to come through. Just tell me what's going on. Just speak to me. And we went to the service, and the pastor started in his sermon. He's going through the beginning of Matthew 19, and he was talking about the scribes and the Pharisees and how they were challenging Jesus and asking a question of Jesus. And Jesus answered their question with this question. Jesus said, have you not read? And the pastor just stopped right there. And he said this. He said, you know, it's amazing how many problems and questions are out in this congregation right now that could be answered by that one question of Jesus. Have you not read? And he just kept repeating it. He's just looking out at everyone, and he says, have you not read? And I don't know how to explain it, but it was like I was all alone with the Lord in that little church service. It was just the Lord and me, and the Lord was speaking to me, and he says, this is the cause of your weariness. Yes, you're spending wonderful time with family, and yes, you're reading books on 2 Corinthians and on preaching and on leadership. That's great, and yes, you're praying and fasting, but when are you going to just read the scriptures just to be with me? Have you not read? When are you going to just open up the Bible and spend time just to get to know me? Just to be with me. And it was so simple. Just like Isaiah's questions are simple, right? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not read? And I've got to share this. I was speaking with an older gentleman who's been attending here this past week, and we were sitting down together, and he asked me, he said, you know, I'm just curious. He says, in your opinion, what would you say is one of the biggest problems facing the church at large today? And I said, well, in my opinion, it's biblical illiteracy. We don't know the scriptures as we should. And I said, it's because we live in an information age and we live in the entertainment age. We live in a time in history where what we could possibly know and potentially know. It's just so much that's available to research and to study, so much to know. And we live in the entertainment age where there's just so many things to watch and so many things to do. And if we're not careful, these things are drawing us away from the simplicity of reading the scriptures and really knowing our God. Do you know him? Are you spending time with him? I mean, it's crazy to think that in our day of age, when we see someone all alone just sitting there reading the Bible, we almost view that as something ultra spiritual to do instead of the normal Christian thing to do. When we're reading the scriptures, we get to know him in a personal way. This is what he's saying. You want to know the cause underneath this weariness is you don't know the greatness and the beauty and the wonderful nature and character of your God. You're so focused on what you want to have happen, you've lost focus and forgotten the greatness of your God. And you want to know something? There's good news here. It's good news that this is the cause, because since this is the cause, there's a cure. It's a curable condition. And do you notice? This is exactly what he does. Starting at verse 28, what does he do? Like a good counselor, he doesn't just ask the right questions. He points you to God. And if we track with him, if we listen to what he has to say here, we could find spiritual strength as well. So let's look at this. Second and finally, spiritual strength. And he really gives two keys to finding spiritual strength, to getting excited about your walk again, closeness with God again. And they are knowing our God and waiting on God. And he starts with knowing before the waiting, because you're never going to confidently and patiently wait on someone that you don't know, right? You're not going to be there waiting and waiting, but patiently and confidently if you don't know the character of who you're waiting for. So it's knowing and waiting, and the knowing comes always before the waiting. And here's what he's doing. It's almost like we've all got a soundtrack, a spiritual soundtrack playing in the background of our lives, and he's mixing up the tape. He's changing out the CD. He's changing the playlist. And he's like, guys, the soundtrack you've got playing is the delay of God. Let me change that up. How about we play the greatness of God? And I've got a bunch of tracks for you. And he just lays down the tracks. And we're going to just follow these one by one. And each one of them are a hit. All right? So the first one he says is this. He says, the Lord is the everlasting God. Now, what is that? That's God's sovereignty over time. And isn't that the whole issue with waiting? Timing? Trusting God's timing. He says he's the everlasting God, which means our enemies won't outlast him, which means that he sees the big picture. See, we're constrained and limited with time, but he isn't. We don't see ahead. We don't see around the corner, but he does. He sees the big picture. And because he sees the big picture, we can rest knowing he knows what we need when we need it. But you see, we're constrained. We're limited with time, but he isn't. He's never running late. He's never in a hurry. He's never got too many things on his schedule, right? God is never crunched for time, but we are. And here's what we do. We take our limitations with time and we project that onto God and feel like he's limited. And so he's got to show up now. Give you a silly example. You remember Veruca from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? What was that girl's issue? She wants it now, right? I want an Oompa Loompa now, Daddy, right? I want a golden goose now. Remember, she even had a song about it. I want it now, I want it now, right? And you watch this. You watch this film, and you're like, oh, what a spoiled little brat. Not realizing that you and I are Veruca. You and I are just like her. We're like, I want this problem fixed now, Daddy. I want this answer to prayer now. I want it now. And we forget that he's the everlasting God. And he does not work on our timetable because he knows what we need when we need it. He's sovereign over time. Next thing we see is he's sovereign over matter. He is the creator. This means that just like he spoke this world into existence through just a word, he can bring into your life in just a moment what you've been waiting for. He's not limited on resources. It's not like God is missing the pieces to put something together for you. He's not missing the tools. He is sovereign over matter. Okay? He can bring into your life exactly what you need when you need it. And then we see he's sovereign over space. Watch this. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. And one commentator pointed out that the people who were exiled in Babylon were probably thinking that they were living at the ends of the earth and thinking that, well, God doesn't really care about this place. And Isaiah is saying, oh, no. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. Your way isn't hidden from him. He's made all things and he's sovereign over space. And he knows the unique challenges that you're facing right where he's placed you. So just in this one verse, if you meditate upon this, you see that God is sovereign over time, matter, and space. And then he goes on to explain the character of God. Watch this. It says, he does not faint or grow weary. His unlimited power. And so he's emphasizing here, don't think of God as you think of yourself. It's not like he's got so many things to do that he's sort of worn out and tired. And so he's like, oh, you know, I've got a lot of stuff on my plate today, and I want to get to your stuff, but first I've got to take a power nap. You know, first I've got to take a snooze. I've got to take a nap before I... No, he doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. He has unlimited resources and unlimited power to come through for you. He never gets tired, and so we can stop working because he never stops working. We can sleep and leave our cares in the hands of God because he never sleeps. He has unlimited power. And then we see he has unlimited wisdom. It says his understanding is unsearchable. Now let's just do this just for fun. Show of hands. Who here would say that you have got God completely figured out? That you know what God is doing in every single moment and all the details and what he's doing just in your life, you know, everything that's going on. You know what God's doing from the beginning to the end. Show of hands, how many would say that they've got God completely figured out? All right. I'm glad we've all come to that place to admit that. Now, why is it that when we're in this season of waiting, do we find ourselves saying, I don't understand why God hasn't come through yet? The point is that we're not going to be able to understand. The point is to not lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. Trust in him with all your heart. That's it. We're not going to be able to understand. But you see, we quickly want to lean on our own understanding instead of leaning on his goodness and his faithfulness and his heart towards us. I'll give you another concrete example. How many of us, if we were there at the cross of Jesus and we're seeing what Jesus of Nazareth was going through, how many of us would be thinking, this is brilliant, right? I don't mean to be cute. I'm serious. How many of us would be thinking, God is amazing. I mean, I can't believe what he's doing here. I mean, they're going to be singing songs about this for thousands of years. None of us would have said that because we are limited in what we are able to understand that God is doing in the moment. We wouldn't have put it all together that there on the cross, God was dying for our sins, all our mistakes and failures, so that anyone who puts their trust in Jesus can have all their sins forgiven. We wouldn't have put together the fact that when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That he was being separated from the Father so that you and I would never have to be. And he rose again from the dead to prove that he wasn't dying because of his sins. He was dying for our sins. And this was foreshadowed all the way through the Old Testament, and no one was smart enough to put that together. And Paul says, this, the cross, is the wisdom of God. And so you've got to take the cross, and you've got to let that be the lens by which you look at your season of waiting. And you've got to understand that you're not going to understand all that God is doing, but you can understand who he is. You see, we, in the seasons of waiting, we want to know why God wants us to know him. God wants us to trust in him and in his heart of goodness. His wisdom is way beyond us. His ways are higher than our ways. One day, all that's mysterious will one day be bright and one day be clear. Next thing he says is he kind of emphasizes his grace and his goodness. Watch this. It says, verse 29, and he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. The world says to us, you're strong. But the gospel says to us, you're weak. The world says, you can do it. Just look within. The gospel says, no, you can't. You got to look above. And that's the point of verse 30. Even youths, even young men, even the people who are as physically fit and strong as possible, they will grow spiritually weary. They need the grace of Jesus. We are weak, and he knows it. And we've got such a great God that when he sees us down in the dumps, when he sees us out of sorts, when he sees you spiritually struggling, he doesn't say, all right, I'm sorry you're down there, but you got to pick yourself back up. You got it within you. Come on, muster the strength. Get yourself back up. No, he reaches down to us. Isn't this what Paul picks up on in Romans 5? He says that while we were helpless, while we were weak, while you couldn't lift a spiritual finger to save yourself, Christ, the captain of our souls, he marched to the cross with all the strength in the world, and he died for us. He reached out to us so that we could be picked back up and find strength again. It's the goodness of God, the grace of God. This is what he's emphasizing here. And so, I mean, just in these few verses, we see that God is sovereign over time and matter and space and has all power and wisdom and goodness working in us and through us. Second key is waiting on God. So it starts with knowing, but we've got to move on to the waiting. He says, watch this, he says, 31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. What is waiting on the Lord? Well, I would say maybe a couple ways. Waiting on the Lord is an active, trustful anticipation, sort of like contentment. It's not passive. It's active. Another way of saying it is waiting on the Lord is hopeful, patient expectancy. And the word here that in the Hebrew for wait, it's the word kavah. And it literally means to lie in wait for, to look out for, or to attend to. Almost think of it like a lion who's lying in wait for its prey. It's not passively sitting. No, it's up, it's attentive, it's listening, it's looking. It's very active. Or think of it like waiting on tables. Think about it like attending to someone who you are waiting on. You've got your eye on them, right? And you're willing to take orders from them. You ever served, ever waited on a table? You are focused on what they might need. And now, we don't wait on God in a way where we give him anything. But you see, this waiting is active, where we are not taking matters into our own hands. We're willing to take orders from God. We're willing to listen to him. We're willing to say, all right, I'm in this season of waiting, but I want to serve you. I want to take orders from you. What is it that you want me to do while I wait for you to come through? And you know what one key thing you can always know that he wants you to do? He wants you to get ready. Earlier in this chapter, it says, prepare the way for the Lord. Be prepared. Get ready. So another way of looking at waiting is, how does a soon-to-be bride wait for her wedding day? Not passively. No, she's getting ready. She's getting prepared. So if you're in this season of waiting, you got to go to God and you say, is there some way that you're preparing me? What lessons do you want me to learn? How do you want me to get ready? Are you taking orders from him? Are you really listening to him? And do you know that faith is not believing that God's going to give you what you want? It's believing that God's going to give you what is best. Do you know that? Do you have that expectancy that it might not come through when I want it or how I want it, but God listens to me, he hears me, and I know he loves me. Knowing our God and waiting on God, these are the keys. But you notice how Isaiah closes this? How does he close this chapter? By giving us three pictures of strength so that we know we have the strength back, right? Here's the sign that we're waiting in the right way. How do you know you've got this strength? He gives us three pictures. So how he closes, this is how I want to close. I'm going to close with this. The three pictures of strength is soaring, running, and walking. And for the longest time, I've got to be honest, I was really disappointed with how he ended this. Because I thought of these as stages of strength. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why do I want to be walking when I can be soaring? Right? I want to be always soaring. I don't want to get down to the walk thing. And I was sort of confused. I thought these were stages of strength. They're not stages. They're three different aspects of strength. He's giving you three different pictures of the strength that you need. And the first is mental strength. The reason he brings up this whole idea of eagle's wings is because the wingspan of an eagle can get up to about 7.5 feet, which enables the eagle to soar up to 10,000 feet in the air, giving it a perspective on the earth that no other bird has. And you see, isn't that what we need? We need a perspective from above. When we're going through that season of waiting, we need to look at the difficulty. We need to look at the delay from God's perspective. And as you get to know God, and as you're waiting on him, and you're listening to him, and you're taking orders from him, all of a sudden, he's going to give you that divine perspective, the perspective from above, and you're going to be able to look at your trial and look at your delay in a different way. You're going to have a renewed mental strength and perspective. And then running and not be weary. This is spiritual strength. This is running in the ways of God again. This is getting up and going forward. This is running the race that's been marked out for you. Now all of a sudden there's a spiritual renewal and you have this desire to pursue God again and to really run in the ways that he has set before you. And they will walk and not faint. This is relational strength. So you see what he did? He went from feeling like my way is hidden from God, a sense that God's not with me, and a frustration with God, to now walking again with God. Now the communion's been restored. Now you've got the walk back, you see? It's relational. And when you know the intimacy with God, and that's what happened to me. Oh boy, the end of that service, the fellowship was restored, the communion was there, and there was just this intimate walk with the Lord again. That's what's offered to you. That's what's offered to me as we know our God and we wait on God. A renewed perspective, a renewed perseverance, and a renewed personal walk with him. Let me pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. Oh God, we thank you that you don't leave us where you find us. Lord, you've reached down to us. You have proven your heart of goodness. And God, if you did not spare your only son, if you gave your son for our sins, how much more will you give us the strength in the seasons of waiting? And Lord, I pray that as a church, we would get to know you better. And we would wait on you more. We would take orders from you and be prepared and learn the lessons that you want us to learn in this season of waiting. Lord, give us strength, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio recording produced by Truth Point Church. We encourage you to distribute this to as many people as you'd like, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way. For more information about our ministry or to subscribe to our podcast, please visit our website at www.truthpoint.org.